WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:03, it's cloudy and 48 degrees in Atlantic. We look for mostly cloudy skies today, a 90% chance of rain. We'll have a high in the lower 50s, so the temperature's falling to around 42 degrees by 5 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with the news. The Cass County Board of Supervisors have approved a 3% increase in wages and benefits for sheriff's deputies, jailers, and sheriff's office assistants. As part of the bargaining unit agreement for fiscal year 2014, 2015, and 2016. The action came during their meeting Tuesday morning here in Atlantic. In other business, the board approved the First Amendment to the Cooperative Reimbursement Agreement between the Cass County as host political subdivision and Department of Human Services Bureau of Collections with regard to the incorporation of a program budget for state fiscal year 2014. They also approved a request for a tax abatement of taxes collectible for fiscal year 2013 and 2014 on property used as a church by Glory Christian Fellowship at 511 Main Street in Griswold. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the Sioux City Police Chief says an officer acted quickly and saved his own life after a known gang member opened fire on him during a routine traffic stop for a seatbelt violation. Chief Doug Young says Officer Kevin McCormick stopped the car on the city's west side and then Jamal Dean jumped out of the passenger side of the car and started firing at the officer with a .22 rifle.
A total of 8 rounds impacted the windshield of the patrol vehicle. Officer McCormick had not exited his vehicle and was pinned down. The officer's instincts and training kicked in. Officer McCormick laid down in the front seat of the patrol vehicle, put it in reverse, and floored it to get out of harm's way.
McCormick was hit with one shot.
Officer McCormick maintained his composure throughout the ordeal. Even after realizing he had been hit, he was broadcasting his status and physical description of the suspect that had fled to the south from the shooting area.
McCormick is the son of another Sioux City officer and has been on the job for about 15 months. Chief Young says the man's going to be okay.
Officer McCormick was transported to Mercy Medical with a wound to the forehead above the right eye. Bullet was surgically removed, and Officer McCormick will make a full recovery.
The chief says there were two women in the car and three children ages 5, 1, 5, and 6. The children have since been turned over to the DHS. Jamal Dean, who is 22 years old, is charged with attempted murder and remains at large. Young says Dean has a long record and is a suspect in several shootings. Police are asking anyone with information on Dean's whereabouts to call the police department. And the family of the Sioux City man who's wanted in the shooting of a Sioux City police officer is pleading for him to turn himself in. Lee Dean is the father of 22-year-old Jamal Dean, who's facing an attempted murder charge in Monday's shooting of Officer Kevin McCormick. Lee Dean is also a friend of Sergeant Mike McCormick, the father of the officer who was shot.
I want to apologize to Mike McCormick and his family. I'm very sorry. And I want to just plead out to my son that he would just turn himself in, you know, safely so nobody else would be hurt. And nothing else happened.
Dean's mother, Mary Hogan, also made an emotional plea for her son to surrender.
I just want him to come home. Just please turn yourself in. I mean, just please turn yourself in.
Jamal's aunt, Barbara Dean, wants him to know the family is there to help him.
Jamal, we love you and that we're going to stand by you. And it's a terrible thing that's happened, but no one has died. And just call one of the family members so that we can help you get safe passage and so that you can do the right thing and that we love you.
The family members are asking Jamal Dean to contact them immediately when he hears their plea. State inspectors say co-owners of a Sioux City massage parlor hired unlicensed employees, and some of them are suspected of giving erotic massages. The Iowa Board of Massage Therapy announced Tuesday that Shuling Liu and Jingying Bai, owners of the Hong Chinese Massage, had their license suspended indefinitely. They were also fined $1,000 each. Liu and Bai have been charged with 5 counts, including committing unethical conduct. The board said it received several complaints of unlicensed therapists giving erotic massages. An employee also was arrested for prostitution following an undercover operation by law enforcement. Records say the parlor advertised its business on several adult and exotic websites. And the snow is forecast across portions of Iowa between late today and early Friday of this week, with accumulating snow possible, especially in the north and western parts of the state. Snowfall in Iowa in May is unusual but far from unprecedented, according to data from the state climatologist office. Snow has fallen in May in 59 of the last 125 years, or about 47% of the time, but it's only occurred in the last in 5 of the last 20 years. Most of the events were characterized by simple isolated flurries, with only trace amounts at a couple of reporting stations. most recently occurred in 2011 when a trace of snow was reported May the 1st at Forest City and May the 3rd in Lansing. Widespread and measurable snowfall amounts are more unusual in May. The last measurable May snow reported in Iowa fell on May 1st and 2nd of 2005 with traces across the northern third of the state, 1/10 of an inch at Stanley and 3/10 of an inch at Cresco. Similar events occurred on May 1st, 1997 and on May 5th through the 6th in 1989. Snowfall events producing multiple inches of accumulation are exceedingly rare in Iowa in the month of May, having occurred in only 10 years, according to the research of the author Jim Lee. He says most of the events occurred in the late 1800s and the first half of the 20th century. In fact, no station has reported an inch or more of snowfall in Iowa since May of 1967. Now, some of the events producing the highest May snowfall accumulations on record in Iowa include in 1907, when the spring was very cold and backward, at least partially due to a large eruption of a volcano in eastern Russia. Snow on that year fell across most of Iowa and the Midwest on May the 3rd of 1907, with amounts ranging from 1.2 inches at Des Moines and 1.5 inches in Atlantic and Corning. And in 1967, snow fell across the southern half of Iowa on May the 3rd, with amounts ranging up to an amazing 8 inches at Glenwood. Eight area fire departments responded to a report of a grass fire about 2 miles southwest of Manning over the weekend. Lynn Gaskill, Irwin Fire Chief, said a nearby resident in the area started a fire on Saturday.
Somebody had been burning on Saturday, and then evidently there was a log or something still burning, and the wind kicked up there Sunday afternoon, and he got down along the big river there, and a lot of CRP along the river on both sides, and it went all the way up to, within a half mile of 141. So it probably traveled over a mile.
The eight fire departments, including Dedham, Halber, Manning, Manila, Westside, Irwin, and Defiance, and another unknown fire department were called to the fire about 3:30 p.m. Sunday, and Gaskill says a few campers even had to be evacuated.
It was headed for that, what they call the Great Western Park there south of Manning. And I think there was campers and people in the shelter house there. And I think they had to get them evacuated out of there. Well, it was really a smoky fire. I mean, it was huge.
And the crews worked for about a couple of hours to extinguish the flames. There were no injuries reported and no structures were damaged. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, a survey finds U.S. companies added the fewest jobs in 7 months during the month of March. Payroll processor ADP said private employers added just 119,000 jobs last month, and March's hiring was slower than first thought. Manufacturers cut 10,000 jobs, while construction firms added 15,000. One immigrant rights group says this is the day the invisible becomes the visible. Tens of thousands of people in cities across the U.S. are expected to rally today for immigration reform. May 1st is the day that activists usually hold such demonstrations, but this year's events come 2 weeks after the introduction of bipartisan legislation in the Senate that will put millions of people in the U.S. illegally on the path to U.S. citizenship. The group Human Rights Watch is questioning the practice of placing the names of minors on sex offender registries. The group says doing so could cause young people lasting and unwarranted harm. Some juveniles have been placed on sex offender registries for consensual sex and for sexting nude photos to each other. Syria's President Bashar Assad is making a rare public appearance a day after a powerful bomb hit the capital. State television is showing Assad's visit today to a power station in Damascus. He's looking confident and wearing a dark business suit. Yesterday's blast killed at least 14 people and was the second attack in Damascus in 2 days. And finally in the news, the 6 educators killed in the Newtown, Connecticut Elementary School massacre will be awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. The president of the Congressional Medal of Honor Society told the New Haven Register that the women's families will be presented with a Citizens Honor Medal during a ceremony May 6th at the Newtown High School. In our funeral announcements this morning, Lloyd Sheldahl, age 82 of Avoca, died Friday in Omaha. Funeral services for Lloyd Sheldahl will be this morning at 10:30 at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Irma Bro, age 98 of Exira, died Friday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Irma Bro will be today at 1 o'clock at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Dwayne Kaiser, age 88 of Rural Lewis, died Saturday. Funeral services for Dwayne Kaiser will be tomorrow at 1:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Victor Nielsen, age 91, who's formerly of Walnut, died at the Risen Sun Christian Village in Council Bluffs. Services for Victor Nielsen will be on Friday at 10 a.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Walnut. Richard Jorgensen, age 87, of Guthrie Center, died Monday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Richard Jorgensen will be on Friday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Marion Hendricks, age 79, of Harlan, died Friday. Memorial services for Marion Hendricks will be this Friday at 11 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. Marilyn Erickson, age 70, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for Marilyn Erickson will be Friday at 11:30 at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Dale Bloomquist, age 69, of Greenfield, died Friday in Des Moines. A funeral service for Dale Bloomquist will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Congregational Church in Stuart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has the arrangements. Colleen Nelson, age 71, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Greenfield Manor. Services for Colleen Nelson are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Clydie Bagshaw, age 93, of Messina, died Tuesday at her daughter Karen's home in rural Messina. Funeral services for Clydie Bagshaw are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Dwayne Ernst, age 72, of Adair, died Tuesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Dwayne Ernst are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. And that is a check of the news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.